This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on results of Arunachal Pradesh and Sikkim Assembly elections. The participants are Subimal Bhattacharjee, political analyst, and Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor.
The assembly elections for the 60 seats in Arunachal Pradesh and 32 seats in Sikkim were conducted on the 19th of April, concurrently with the first phase of Lok Sabha elections. The counting for the Andhra Pradesh and Odisha assemblies will be held on 4th of June, along with Lok Sabha elections 2024. With the results now available for Arunachal Pradesh and Sikkim, today we delve into the outcomes of these states. And to discuss this, we have with us Mr. Subimal Bhattacharjee. Welcome, Mr. Subimal, to Akashvani Studio. Let's talk about Arunachal Pradesh first. In the 2019 assembly elections, BJP secured 42 seats in Arunachal Pradesh. And this time, there is an increase of 4 seats for the BJP in the state.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a very welcome result for the BJP ahead of the announcement of the general election results. But what you have to consider is that there has been a lot of work happening on the ground in Arunachal Pradesh. The central government has really invested in infrastructure build-up in the state, and more specifically the border infrastructure build-up. As you know, Arunachal is a very sensitive state.
Yes.
And the Chinese misadventures on and off still happen there. Name different places of Arunachal in their own terms. It's very important that the people of Arunachal Pradesh feel secure, people of Arunachal Pradesh feel they are a part of India. The work based on the infrastructure that has been built up, the little bit of work that has happened even in the state in terms of entrepreneurs coming up, in terms of business gaining ground. See, Arunachal Pradesh is also less industry kind of a state, and you don't see that heavy industries can really come up because of the fragility ecosystem and the geography. So, but the opportunity for many young people to be entrepreneurs, to do a lot of stuff which could be around the cottage industry and all that gives a lot of confidence that both in the center and the state there are efforts to give us opportunities to help us grow ourselves. So I think, you know, that's the reflection of 42 to 46. And you saw 10 of the MLAs were elected unopposed, including the chief minister and the deputy chief minister.
For a long time, we talked about Look East policy. Now we talk about Act East policy. So we see a lot of, as you said, infra work, which is being done by the central government in Arunachal Pradesh, and definitely it would have helped the people there. Do you see this challenging for the fact that it's very multicultural? There are many indigenous tribes there. So what were the issues which were being discussed? Were there local issues? Because the multiplicity of the culture and the tribes there, was that a challenge?
No, I don't think. Well, the inter-tribe challenges remain, but, you know, some tribes are very dominant, and the leaders from those tribes, for example, the Nishi tribe, they have carried all other tribes and the leaders also along. So everyone got an opportunity for economic activities in their area. There were some allegations of corruption, other things that today comes in politics and elections very much. But what the people has seen, and to my mind, very clear that there was a focused way to develop the infrastructure. There was a focused way to clear the perception that, you know, Northeast was an investable region and disturbances have gone away. And Arunachal being a border state, the people there also felt that, you know, our allegiance is to India and we have to be very strong. We have to be not only be very strong, but have to be seen to be very strong. So that is what drives the people also towards such a heavy kind of a mandate, not a fractured mandate.
Also, I'd like to ask you, how was the election? Was it a bit of a challenge considering the topography of the place? There are remote areas in Arunachal Pradesh. It's a sensitive state. Could you throw a light on?
Arunachal Pradesh is still one of the far-flung states, and there are a lot of places where, you know, poll officers have to work for 5-6 hours, cross all kinds of rivers and all, you know, not all places you can always build up bridges and all. A lot of efforts have gone to hold the elections, people in a village where there would be 20 villagers also, officials have got to that extent. So I think those challenges were there, but more than the challenges, the participation in democracy by everyone, every tribe, every village and everything, I think that's the real spirit that was reflected.
Let's shift our focus to the opposition. The NPP retains its 5 seats and the Congress slipped to just 1, with some seats for PPA and independents. So how would you see this whole picture?
The most important point is that, you know, Congress is not opening its account when it ruled for so many years. Up to 2016, if you see, when the present chief minister and all, they shifted to BJP. And since then, they have grown. If you see NPP, now NPP per se is kind of a Meghalaya-dominated party because it's Conrad Sangma's party, but they have few MLAs in Nagaland as well as up here in Arunachal. So if you even think of a pan-Northeast regional party in that party, I still don't think, you know, they have really gained a lot of ground. And there isn't an opportunity or a situation where a pan-Northeast regional party could emerge. So they would at best, you know, be a very, very silent opposition because there's a thumping majority that the BJP has got. Just the way they were in the previous assembly, that's how they'll still perform. Others, you know, really don't carry any weight. Maybe some of the independents actually will join BJP also when it comes to taking a call.
Chief Minister Pema Khandu and Deputy CM Chauname were elected unopposed. The fact that they are of the same party as we have in the centre, would that help in governance? And has that raised the aspirations of the people there? That means greater synergy, better synergy for the people?
Yeah, well, this is something that is not a new phenomenon in Northeast. It's there for a long time. Wherever the, whichever party is in the centre, they all are on that side. So for a Congress, it used to happen like now it is BJP. So wherever you see, they are all allying. And thus, Arunachal, since 2016 when all of them have come and BJP has gone. So even without an organic growth, the way they started and the way they will continue, I think this alignment will never go away. You know, the double engine concept that is spoken about.
Yes,
this is
often
going to remain, and this gives them the hope because you see they are very much dependent upon the center for their finances and money and budget. Their local productivity still remains very low to sustain the kind of economy that they have. Hence, they are dependent upon the center. And they are very wise in this aspect that they always align with whoever is in the party in the center.
Let's move on to Sikkim now. In Sikkim, the ruling Sikkim Krantikari Morcha, SKM as we call it in short, has emerged as the sole leading party in this year's election results and secured 31 out of 32 seats. It's just an absolute landslide victory. Again, how do we interpret that?
Very big victory, because if you look at it, of course, Sikkim Democratic Front ruled for 25 years, but Sikkim has a personality-driven political system that earlier was with Pawan Chamling, 25 years before that, you know, Narbahadur, Bhandari, you know. But now if you see the current Chief Minister Prem Kumar Tamang, of course he was under Mr. Chamling and he was very close to him politically and then he came out and started this. But the very important point to note is that from last election to this election, they have grown so much. They've gained 58% of the vote this time. The other important point is that when, you know, BJP is there, BJP is also trying to gain its fit in the state, not only gain, actually expand, because they had a few MLAs last time, many of them who went from SDF, and they put up their candidates in many of the seats. So when they were fighting and with resources and everything, if you see such numbers for the SDF, it's quite a clear message that the Sikkimese people want the regional flag flying strong, and not only strong, make it more stronger and be completely dominant on that. So even if you look at Sikkim being a border state with Arunachal, and Galwan was not very far away, they also have the same things like the Arunachal, the aspirations of needing to be seen to be very strong against Chinese troubles. So those concerns also still you saw a the regional party being there. So I think that's quite a mandate that speaks of many things.
There is a bit of irony here. We saw the former chief minister's party, Mr. Chamling's party, SDF, who he ruled for about 25 years. And this time he lost from both the constituencies. There seems to be an irony there, but critics say that the present government built up on a foundation which was created, a strong foundation which was created for Sikkim by Mr. Chamling. Sikkim became a 100% organic state. People are very prosperous, if I may call it, and happy. And there are not many things they gained. The tourism boomed, and agriculture, of course, is good because it's organic. And there are many, many firsts to it. I could go on and on. So do you think it's a fair trial by the people?
Well, it's not possibly a fair trial by the people, but then, you know, this is a democracy. People try and vote for the best they think who can deliver for them. And if Mr. Tamang's party or his colleagues have been able to build up on what Mr. Chamling provided, that's, I think, also a message to the people to see that, you know, so to take a much wiser decision. So in a way, it is good because the standards of democracy are raised much higher, and the way tourism and related aspects, you mentioned about agriculture also, the way it has grown in the last few years, it's phenomenal. So I think, you know, people still want that continued to remain. So even if possibly they are seen to be unfair to Mr. Chamling, but they are still fair to the aspirations of the state collectively.
What would be the aspirations of the people of Sikkim, considering that it's a very, in Hindi we call it Samridh state, good per capita income? What are the aspirations of the people of Sikkim, which probably the present CM has targeted?
No, I think a sustained growth and quality living, because, you know, the fragility of the environment, the worries from a very belligerent neighbor, where it is actually located. Environmental troubles are not shows on and off in the rainy seasons right now. Landslides and everything keep on coming. So within that, how they can build up their sustainable infrastructure, grow it, use their soft powers to give a quality of life to the people and yet remain a very vibrant state of this country. I think these are the aspirations that people definitely have.
In the background of what you have just talked about, that, as I said, the irony of the present government and the past government and this landslide victory, what are the implications of these election results on the national landscape?
Very important aspect, because if you see both these states bordering China have a very important role as far as India's national integration, national security perspectives go. So when you have decisive governments in both these states, they will be able to not only govern properly, but also they'll be able to take care when if any contingency arises. And by and large, the plans that the Union government has for the Northeast in terms of developing the infrastructure, in terms of providing them financial support for so many of the flagship schemes, in terms of giving them opportunity to all their culture, then food habits, dress habits, all these, those aspirations to go around the country as well as outside. I think all of that is a very, very vibrant scenario. So it's very important for this country. You know, the perception that Northeast was away always kept those two states also away. Now in the last few years, that perception has been reduced. The periphery and the mainland seem to have come far much closer, although I don't like to use these terms, but that's how it has been perceived. So in the last few years, that's dwindling, and as a result of which so many people are going to Arunachal Pradesh, so many Arunachal Pradesh people go across the country. There were students have been in Delhi for always, but right. Then people going around from Arunachal across different parts of the country, I think this is phenomenal. So that intermingling, that getting Northeast into everything, and you had mentioned about Act East, the whole idea of Act East is also to see that those regions also prosper economically. So I think the results are very, very important and come at a point of time when the country is growing economically, when the country is growing in its foreign power stature. Yes. These two states also have an important role.
And the fact that the Prime Minister and many of his ministers have made many visits to the Northeast quite validates the fact that they wanted to integrate the Northeast and the people, and if I may be very specific, the hearts of the people of the Northeast to the heart of the rest of the India, rather. And as you said, that earlier the Northeast was a kind of a sideline, but not anymore. Now they have been nicely integrated into the national mainstream. This you think validates the people's aspirations and the fact that they have voted for the centre?
Oh, absolutely. I think the last 10 years, Prime Minister Modi has really ensured that the states spend the money and the report comes back here. So money is spent on the people and not gobbled by the politicians or the leaders. Two, there is more intermingling. Three, the ministers from here go and look at the respective ministries. And four, most important thing, winning the hearts of the people. The Prime Minister himself had gone so many times, attires himself in their local dresses. They all feel very happy and him a part of their whole community. And that's the whole sense of Northeast that, you know, we have seen in our childhood and even right now I feel has a prospect to connect everyone.
So hoping that the beauty, uncorrupted beauty of Northeast really entices more people as tourists and as their own people. It's probably also a work in progress, more to go. We've come so far and still way to go. Thank you very much, Mr. Subimal, for talking to us and
coming to
Akashvani Studio.
Thank you so much.
You are listening to our discussion on results of Arunachal Pradesh and Sikkim Assembly elections. The participants were Subimal Bhattacharjee, political analyst, and Lalima Anija Dang, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.